Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast, another special edition of the Terrible Podcast. It is August the 2nd. It is Wednesday. The Pittsburgh Steelers 2017 training camp, fifth day of training camp practice today. And Alex Cazora was obviously out there at St. Vincent College again to watch and report everything that happened today. And Alex, happy Wednesday to you, and I assume the McLumen is running fine, and I'm sure you're staying stocked up on McChickens and whatnot.
Well, running fine in McLumen is terms that don't go together too often, but she's doing all right. I'm glad that she's getting me through camp.
I am too, and once again, we'd like to thank Touring Plans, touringplans.com, for sponsoring Alex again this year. In addition to that, look, we don't say enough at times thanking folks for all the donations that have come pouring in year after year. I'm blown away by the support that we get, so I want to make sure at the top of the show that I recognize all of you who have donated. It really makes it a lot easier absorbing all this cost that goes into sending Alex out there day in, day out, and obviously rewarding him for his time as well. So, Alex, on this Wednesday, the Steelers, of course, had Tuesday off, and the day it's been a pretty eventful day, even newswire wise. The Steelers opened up the day with a transaction. They waived Scott Orndorff, injured. Of course, he was the undrafted free agent out of Pittsburgh, the tight end, and they signed Jake McGee, who spent his college career split, well, really most of us spent at Virginia. It ended up in 2015 at the University of Florida. Had a productive, little college career there overall, and I haven't dove into the tape yet, and I doubt you have either on him, but he was obviously dressed and at practice today. Orndorff is going to probably clear waivers with ease. He'll probably revert back to the Steelers IR, and then we'll see if they waive him again with some sort of injury settlement within the first 5 days. So he, I think, was trying to get over a hamstring injury there. Ben Roethlisberger spoke before practice. We've already covered a lot of that on the site as well, too. Obviously, no Martavis Bryant yet at practice, and why don't you run down the list of other players who were not able to participate on Wednesday.
Right, Dave. I think I have seven guys in total that didn't participate in practice today. They are Cam Sutton with that mysterious lower body. He did some very light kind of walking around the middle field, which is generally the first step for guys in their on-field rehab assignment. So he's probably still, I'm guessing, at least a week away, if not more. James Conner with that AC sprain, he did a very little bit with the initial warm-ups. I think he's getting pretty close. Senquez Golson, status quo, no practice. Landry Jones with that abdomen strain, did not go. Mike Mitchell with the ankle foot. AB, Cam Hayward, not there. Their wives recently had a child. I think that is mostly everything. Sammy Coates was more aggressive, doing some jogging today in addition to the jugs machine. So I think he's getting closer, maybe the next couple days, potentially. Juju Smith-Schuster was back through a full practice. That was good. Vince Williams back, full practice. He had a couple big hits today. LaVon Hooks, who I know I'm probably the only guy that cares about LaVon Hooks, but this was his first practice of all the training camp, so I was happy to see Big 65 out there. Tuitt was back, and Ramon Foster, who probably got the day off on Monday, returned to play first-team left guard.
And as you pointed out, AC sprain for James Conner. Mike Tomlin confirmed that after practice today, and he said the other guys with soft tissue injuries, usually more than a week, if you're going to describe it. He says we'll keep you guys updated on those guys as they get close. So with that, Let's move quickly over to offense because we're going to try to take some questions from Twitter followers here at the end of this show. So we might move through things a little bit faster today than normal. So you know, we're going to start on the offensive line. Alex, you know, no sense going player by player, but you know, tell me the guys that stuck out today, and then I'll wrap it up with a question or two for you for that group.
Yeah, I thought some of the guys I've highlighted before that are lesser known, the Kyle Friend, Mike Matthews of the world, I thought had some pretty good practices and opened up some big lanes. Chris Hubbard a little bit as well. I think Gerald Hawkins is having a bit of a tough time to camp. I'm not worried. I don't want anyone listening to freak out, but I think Chicolo's giving him fits, and you know, I think it's been a bit of a rocky start. You know, he played some right tackle today. Maybe you know, the position switch the first day, flipping spots had something to do with it, but I'm looking forward to him progressing. And then Marquise Pouncey, he's just reminded of the athlete that he is, pulled twice a day from a center spot. And I mean, Dave, there's probably three or four centers in the NFL that you could reliably ask to pull out in space and be effective. And Pouncey's one of those guys and probably the best at it.
I saw David DeCastro in a video by Will Graves of the Associated Press on that long, I think it was a run by Nile Davis over on the right side. And he looks, DeCastro looks like he's in form as well, too, right now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Ramon Foster was back, I think, at work you posted earlier today as well. Question about Brian Mahalik. You know, we didn't. You obviously got to see him a little bit last year during training camp. He did play, I think, in that season opener or preseason opener against the Detroit Lions. And then that's where, I mean, he didn't, I don't think he played many snaps before he went out injured. And then really, that was, I think that was the last that we saw of him. Are you noticing any, I don't know, improvement or, I mean, anything stick out with him other than just another 6'7", 6'8", body?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's improvement. I don't want to say that there's not, because I think there has to be any time that you're a guy that, you know, was as raw as he was, and you go through your first year and you get a little taste of the NFL. But I maybe am a little underwhelmed by him. I mean, he is a big guy, but he does struggle a bit to mirror and seal the edge. And guys, you know, I think they do a nice job of being able to shed him, where you look at someone like Villanueva that has the heavy, strong hands, it's able to lock on and with good hand placement. So maybe I'm not sour on Mahalik, but I thought he might be a little more noticeable, and I don't think he has been.
Kind of robotic, kind of thinking too much, or?
I don't know if it's robotic. I think he's just a big guy, and it's tough for him to move. I mean, he can counter a little bit on an inside rush, but then if you try to come back outside, he just kind of struggles to change directions that second or third time. So, you know, just some of the natural woes of being a 6'9", whatever he is, 330 guy that is going to be tough for him to overcome. And he does not have the play strength of Villanueva does, and that creates additional challenges for him.
Hubbard having an okay camp?
Yeah, I think Hubbard's doing well. I mean, he'll get beat around the edge sometimes. You know, that's to be expected with Chris Hubbard. He used some tackle eligible today, which is a role he was quite often used in last year. Yeah, I think he's doing fine.
All right, quarterbacks, no Landry Jones today. So it was Ben Roethlisberger, Joshua Jobs, and Bart Houston. And I think Houston had a problem today.
Yeah, he got pick six by Brandon Dixon. I thought Houston did a couple better things, though. There's still a struggle of just getting to the line, getting guys in the right place, and being able to communicate quickly and cleanly. I thought he did do a better job in the no-huddle drill of that, so I'll give him, you know, some credit there. Josh Dobbs, you know, a little worse than yesterday. He threw a pick today. Mike Hilton made a pretty nice diving, leaping interception on him. You know, Dobbs, though, the ball gets out quick. He feels the rush well. He knows when to tuck and run. You know, I think he's, you know, on an upward climb in terms of his progression.
All right, running backs, as I mentioned earlier in this show here, Nile Davis looked like he had a nice run or two there. I don't think I really heard too much else out of the running back group today.
Yeah, relatively quiet. Davis had a nice run. That was really opened up by, I think, you know, DeCastro's block, as the video apparently pointed out. I thought Trey Williams had the run of the day, though. He broke away from two guys. I don't have the names on who, but he juked out, I think, a linebacker, spun away from a second level or DB. I'm not sure who it was, and then almost broke out of a third tackle in Malik Golden. So you see that with Williams. You see the burst, the twitch, the ability to hit the hole with acceleration. He's not going to be a huge threat inside the tackles. That's an undersized guy. Again, I think he's, what, 5'7", 190. But he's going to be a threat in space. He's going to be used in the return game. You're probably going to see him get a couple chances there. And he might make a big play because I think he has the athleticism. And when you're just 5'7", you're tough to see. You're tough to find. And so he's able to kind of find that crease and shimmy his way through the hole and pop out the other end.
Let's see. Tight ends. I'll give Faison Odom this. He outlasted Orndorff, and I don't think he's missed any practices so far. So I mean, that's your best ability is always your availability, and he's had that so far. Look, is there any reason really to spend much time on Jesse James and David Johnson? And I mean, I think Xavier Grimble had a decent practice, from my understanding, today.
Yeah, he had one or two nice catches. I actually want to talk about James for a second, though.
All right.
I feel like, and this is early, and it could change, and, you know, obviously there's a bigger history than a couple of practices to go off of, but I feel like him and Ben just are having trouble getting on the same page, whether that's red zone work. Another red zone attempt today hit off Jesse's hand. It was a little off target. I'm guessing James might have screwed something up, didn't know where Ben wanted him to settle at, and just some stuff even underneath checkdowns and going across the middle. I just feel like they're a little off, and that's obviously got to change and improve for James to have the type of season he wants to have and what the Steelers offense, Ben Roethlisberger, want him to have.
Okay, Faison Odom getting any, a little increase in snaps with Orndorff out there?
Yeah, there's a little increase there. He's getting a tiny bit better on the blocking sled. He's got to be able to keep his feet pumping. He'll go halfway through, his feet will go dead, and he's got to try to restart, and that's tough to do. But as you pointed out, Dave, it's just kind of survival of the fittest, or maybe just survival, and he's outlasted Orndorff, and he's got, I think, the inside track on a practice squad spot, at least of the guys that are in camp. You know, of course, his team could always go outside the organization on that crazy cutdown where, you know, 500 guys are going to be cut at once. They could go outside the organization, but he's outlasted Orndorff, so you give him credit for that.
We know the three right now, right? I mean, there's no reason to think, outside of James Grimble and David Johnson, nobody else is in the running here, right?
Right. Odom, as we stand today, and I'm pretty comfortable in saying that, is not making the 53. So unless they do something outside the organization, which I think is unlikely, you have your three tight ends on the 53-man roster.
I mean, even injury to one of those three above, I mean, they're going outside, right?
Yeah, if Grimble were to go down or something happens to him, it's not going to be Odom. It's not going to be Jake McGee. It's going to be someone else that we don't know about right now.
And, you know, we see how fast Orndorff's gone here. I mean, another week or two. If you're a Faison Odom fan, you're rooting for him to hang on and make the practice squad, I think, at this mm-hmm. point. Wide receiver Juju is back. And Juju had some company there from Hines Ward, I believe, was. He was yep. at St. Vincent today, giving Juju some pointers. And from the sound of things, Juju had a great practice, and especially when it came to the kind of the stock blocking drill, if you will.
Yeah, I didn't really watch that one, but it was a pretty cool setup. It was almost like an old school Oklahoma drill, where it was a stock block with a receiver behind the receiver blocking, and you had to try to shed the block and do something from there. So I didn't see a ton of it. I heard that Juju did well, though. So yeah, Juju had some mojo today. He had a nice catch, probably the catch of the day, a back shoulder throw that he had to adjust to turn himself around along the right sideline and get his feet in bounds, and he did. So it was a good first day back for him. Just happy to see him on the field getting reps. He worked, I think, outside and in the slot, so you're seeing him being used in a variety of ways, and he picked things up pretty quickly today.
I keep going back to that interview that Richard Mann gave several years ago, talking about, you know, guys that can play in the slot and whatnot, and talking about how he likes those guys who can dig out safeties. And boy, Juju really seems like he can be that kind of guy. And people have been wondering, why do you keep talking about Juju in the slot and all like that? Because that's probably going to be his best fit, and where he's going to be needed the most in this offense. Now, obviously, the Steelers like to move, you know, they'll move the wide receivers around. But, I mean, it's exciting to think about how a guy like Juju can help the running game.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I think attracted the team to a guy like Juju Smith-Schuster, where you can dig out the linebacker, or crack the safety in the slot, just the physical mentality that he has. It's a good mentality to have living in a life over the middle if he ends up playing in the slot. But Eli Rogers having a good camp too, of course. So there's going to be some tough decisions and some Haley's got to be creative to try to get these guys on the field.
The kid's so young, but he doesn't. I mean, he doesn't play or practice like it, does he?
Nope, he's very mature for what he turned, just 21, I think, and he plays like a guy that's been around the league for a while.
All right, defensive side of the football. I think you noted Tyson Alualu's put together a couple of nice days.
Yeah, I've been impressed with the last two. He ran first team right the end today with Hayward missing. Alualu did first team left the end when Tua got hurt on Monday's practice. So I think he's your clear backup at both defensive end spots. So it's not like going to be like last year where you had a backup left the end and a backup right the end. LT Walton's playing behind Alualu in both spots, apparently. And I think he does a nice job with his punch, being able to defeat blocks using his hands well in the run game. He's got a good effort. I think he has strength at the point of attack. And again, those heavy hands, I think, produces a nice club move to knock linemen off balance. So he had a couple of nice reps today. And I think that was definitely a solid pickup by Kevin Colbert.
When he's not partaking in the punt return or punt drill, Daniel McCullers, I mean, I guess still a nondescript camp for him, and if that's the case, I mean, who's number six?
I think it's Maxey or somebody that's not on this roster right now. But I think if I were to make a roster today, and I actually might do that before their first preseason game because I didn't make a roster right as camp starter like you and Matthew did. But I'm heavily leaning towards leaving McCullers off the roster because I find it hard to believe that you're going to run third team next to Nelson Adams and Roy Phylon and Christian Brown and Francis Kalon and then make this team. I just don't see it happening. I think Walton's going to be the backup nose tackle, and I think Maxey's done enough to make this squad. And I'll give you one example today. McCullers, it was against the third team offensive line. It was a draw up the middle to Brandon Brown Dukes, and I'm not sure how it happened. I didn't really see who blocked him, but McCullers ends up 4 yards downfield on a draw play in the middle on the goal line. That's just stuff can't happen. So I think the window is closing on Daniel McCullers' time in Pittsburgh.
I mean, we're past the stage of lighting a fire up underneath, trying to motivate somebody from,
Right.
from the third team. Very, very disappointing, but I'm quite honest. I'm surprised he's made it this long, to be honest with you. But I don't know. We'll see. It just does. One would think that I don't know. Maybe that number six is outside the organization right now, but we'll see.
Yep.
All right, inside linebacker. Maybe I worry too much about this group.
You said inside linebacker, right? Not
right,
outside.
Right, inside linebacker.
Yeah, it was a heck of a day for them. Medakevich, again, similar to Lulu, is getting both Buck and Mack linebacker reps. When it was Vince that was out, it was Medakevich that was getting that spot. Shazier out today. It's Dirty Red again. He had a great breakup down the seam to Grimble. That was, we haven't seen him in coverage too often. We think of him as a downhill, thumper against the run, which he is, but he made a really nice play in coverage today. LJ Ford had an interception and one-on-ones against, I think, Fitz Toussaint on a little wheel route. He got his head around, Ford did, and picked it off, and I think had another tackle or two in team session today. I don't know how you feel, Dave. I know you said you might be changing your mind a little bit, but I think this team is pretty comfortable with their inside linebacker depth when you talk about Medakevich, LJ Fort and Steven Johnson. And although I can't, of course, rule out some sort of move at the end of cutdowns, I find it unlikely at this point. I think they're happy with the group they have.
Right, and who are you going to get off the waiver wire anyway, for the league minimum? That can also be, I mean, obviously, if you go out and get a guy, you're going out and get a guy that can also help you on special teams quite a bit as well too. And I just don't think that's going to happen at this point. So I think it comes down to, is it five or is it four? And I mean, we know Matakavich is three, and I mean, boy, Kevin Colbert sure kind of gushed about Dirty Red the other day on the radio. Obviously with he's been running first team both positions, so that's set in stone at this point.
Yeah.
Now it just becomes, who's going to be number four, and are they going to keep a number five? And by the sounds of it, look, I mean, if I were to place my bet right now, they're going to keep five.
Let me ask you this, though, Dave. If they keep four, let's just assume they keep four. We know who the top three are, Shazier, Vince Williams, and Medicevich. Who would you pick as the fourth guy, LJ Ford or Steven Johnson?
Man, you know me and special teams, man. I'm such a – and I focus sometimes too much on that phase of the game. And personally, I view Steven Johnson as a much better player on special teams than LJ Fort. But LJ Fort really, I mean, in the limited time that we've seen him, he does move well out in space. So, you know, there's an argument there.
So who's your pick? You got to choose one. I'm making you choose right now.
I would pick Steven Johnson.
Okay. I'd take LJ Fort. We'll see what happens.
I'm trending to both, you know, to both of them making it. I have a feeling they're going to keep five of them. So
yeah, could be
as well. Okay, outside linebacker. Chickalo's still a star. I mean, of camp when it comes to camp.
Yeah, Chickalo always has nice camps. He had a couple wins today in O line, D line work, and I think at least one win. I think he beat Hubbard today, I want to say, in team session. But TJ Watt, though, I thought had a really nice day today, and it wasn't, you know, one great pass rush rep. It was just his effort as the backside pursuit defender. He had two tackles of that today, of coming from the backside and coming across the field to make the tackle. So, and I think he had three or four tackles total today. So I thought Watt had a nice day. He may have gotten a little nicked up at the end. Tomlin personally pulled him out of the final team session, but I don't think Tomlin even mentioned it in his press conference today, so I'm assuming that's extremely minor.
Who has Bud Dupree still had the best get-off?
Yeah, he's still got the best burst, I would say, but Watts is good. Keon Adams has a very good burst. You know, obviously it's a different skill set, different point in his career, but you definitely sense a good first step with Keon Adams. Now, I don't know what else he has beyond that yet, but he has a really nice, quick first step.
And Arthur Motes, I mean, you know, we haven't talked too much about him. I mean, you know, other than Arthur Motes is Arthur Motes. I mean, is he running, you know, is he running behind Chick?
He's basically been second team opposite Chick, so you really can't say if he's running behind, because wherever Chick's on, Motes will play the other side. You know, he's got the most moves of any outside linebacker on the roster right now. He can win in almost any way possible, at least on paper, but we know about his athleticism. We know his story. I mean, he's always going to have good camps because he is the savvy vet that knows how to set tackles up and how to beat him inside, convert speed to power. But, you know, he's nothing different than what we've seen in the past on the field.
And obviously I meant, is he running behind Dupree? Who's third on the left?
Keon Adams is third team left outside linebacker.
All right, well, who's running third on the right then?
Huguenin, Farrington. Huguenin.
Okay, so Adams is playing on the left, but, you know, he did move around sides at Western.
I might have those guys reversed. It might be Adams. Adams has been on the right. Huguenin's on the left. That's my mistake.
Okay, but I mean, I know I did see Adams in some tape that I look at line up on both sides, but I thought predominantly, right. I thought predominantly he was right on the right side there. So you're telling me in that first preseason game there, then when we get into the second half, we're probably going to see Adams and Huguenin on the field together.
Yes, you will. And to be fair, these guys have moved around. I have seen Adams at left outside linebacker. I mean, Watt's been moving around, so these guys aren't static as I thought that they would be. But Adams, majority of snaps at the right side, Huguenin, majority on the left.
All right, defensive back. David and I were talking today about, thinking, you know, is there a possibility that we see guys like Artie Burns and Cockrell switch sides, I mean, a little bit more than last year, which anything more than last year, you know, would be an increase, right? So, mm-hmm. You know, do you subscribe to the possibility of that happening?
Yes, absolutely. I think when the matchup dictates it, I think that they will. I think that's part of the reason why Burns is shadowing AB right now. Obviously, to go against the best receiver in the league and, you know, just be better because of that. But I think it's about creating comfort on playing left and right side, playing different splits, dealing with motions and shifts and things of that nature. So I absolutely think that they will. And I'm pretty confident in that when they face AJ Green and some of the top receivers that they will. Now, it might not be an every game thing. I think today, without Antonio Brown, they didn't really shadow a guy. They just played sides. So it's going to depend on the matchup and the personnel the opposing offense has. But yeah, I'm very confident they will do some sort of shadowing, either Cockrell or Burns, depending on matchup, as opposed to last year when it was kind of left side, right side.
And would you put Cockrell on the more physical?
I think it's going to depend on Artie Burns' development and how he looks. I think that, you know, Burns had an issue with stronger, bigger guys at the top routes last year. Des Bryant, you know, took him out to lunch. But if Burns shows the improvement that he's done so far, Burns is more comfortable and I think is better in press man, then you may consider him on the more physical guy. So it may vary week to week. It's going to just depend on skill sets and how the defense feels. So it's hard to, I think, put a blanket statement on who's going to play who, but I think you are going to see some of that shadow and following guys around.
Boy, how long have we seen it with basically in Pittsburgh where it's right and left and that's it?
Yeah, I mean, you have to go back to Ike Taylor's prime for the last time they shadowed guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, slot. I mean, well, you know, obviously Sutton and Cinquez Golson not in there. Gay first team. Mike Hilton's second team, right?
Yeah, but Hilton's been second team all the camp. And then I think I saw Greg Ducre get a couple third team slot reps today. But I mean, Gay's going to be your week one slot corner. Right? There's no doubt in my mind about it. It's not going to be Sutton. It's not going to be Golson. It's not going to be Sensabaugh. It's going to be William Gay.
How much work, and Tunch, I think, talked about this today. Do you think Sensabaugh is playing outside so much because they already know what he can do as far as, in a slot, being as how he's played a lot of slot, or do you think they view him more as just an outside guy at this point of his career?
I know, Dave, that Colbert made a pass. I read the article you wrote, I think, what was it, today, about saying, you know, that they could put Sensabaugh in the slot. But if you're going to play him there, he's got to get reps there. You just can't go through a whole camp and OTAs and go a full year without getting reps in the slot. So I think they really do view him as an outside guy. And, I think on the outside, because you have a guy like Sutton, who's probably not going a guy that you want to play both sides, and, you know, Golson, you probably don't want to do that either. I think they want to have Sensabaugh on the outside so he could jump in as either the left or right outside corner if there's ever an injury to Burns or Cockrell. So I think it's just about getting him as many reps as possible so he's the top backup at both spots. If they wanted Sensabaugh to play in the slot, he'd be getting at least some reps there, and I have not seen a single one so far in the first five practices of training camp.
How do you like him, his physicality and his want to stick his face in the fan on the outside?
I think it's serviceable. I think it's a little better than Cockrell. It's not quite William Gay, but I don't think it's going to be a liability either.
Okay. All right. Safety. Mike Mitchell obviously not in there right now, so I assume Golden and Sean Davis. I mean, it's probably hard to tell. I mean, are we seeing any development in Sean Davis in practices?
Yeah. I think in coverage you've seen some ability to play the catch point. I mean, I kind of wish, and maybe I'm being a little greedy, to see a little bit more of the playmaking. I don't think a safety, and actually I'm positive no safety has an interception so far in camp. I hope that changes. And, you know, I don't really have a whole lot new to add. Dangerfield, you know, does his hitting thing. Hagan, I think, is a pretty good hitter as well. All eyes are on Sean Davis, though, so I'm just really excited to get Davis in a preseason game and see how he, you know, is – changed himself and how much better he's gotten from end of last year to this year.
Back to some scheme real quick. David and I were talking this morning. Do you think there's a possibility that we could see Gay and Sutton on the field together at some point during the season?
Yeah,
in some penny or dime?
I heard you mention it, Dave, but I just who's covering who in that scenario? Who's taking a tight end? I mean, what is the goal and who's doing what? I mean, just lay it out for me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're seeing four wide receiver sets or whatnot, I mean, let's face it, you know, more and more teams, if you don't have a, you know, Rob Gronkowski or Tyler Eifert, you know, you might, you know, perhaps you'll see, you know, four wide, or you run up against a team that can move a running back out there, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you do get a little four receiver sets, but unless you're the Jets, you know, you're not going to get that a lot. So maybe if you do have a team that's really heavy in that, you know, I think the Steelers did some of that last year with Shabazz against the Jets. But I mean, you can't have Gay, you can't have Sutton go against the tight end. So, and with Sutton, you know, he's falling behind right now with the injury, of course. I mean, I think if you're going to have an extra defensive back come in and go dime, I think it's going to have to be Robert Golden again, and it's a question of whether or not you want to do that and take Vince Williams off the field.
Right. So, you know, you're right now where you're standing then, you're just thinking, are you even thinking, you know, some early diamond this year?
Unless you want to do it with Golden, but that's not been successful, you know, so I would probably personally, I don't know what the team thinks, but I would personally lean to just keeping Vince Williams on the field and playing nickel, you know, most of the time.
All right, so 20% base, 80% nickel for, and we'll see as the season progresses, because really, I mean, honestly, unless William Gay really, you know, has a rough season, then it's going to be tough to get Cameron Sutton on the field.
Right, yeah, I think Sutton's home's going to be on special teams this year, you know, assuming there's no major injuries. So, yeah, I think Dime is just – I wish – if they would have taken Josh Jones, that kid from NC State, if you remember him, Dave, he's been playing inside linebacker for the Packers, you know, one pick ahead of Pittsburgh, you'd be seeing probably some Dime, but I don't know if they have the personnel to do it. One other quick thing scheme-wise, two more pistol formations today, one with Ben. I think you're going to see some pistol this year. We know Munchak wants it. We've documented Ben's struggles under center. I've said it, you know, before camp, pistol makes the most sense, and I'm hoping to see, not a ton, but five or so plays a game this year.
Justin Hunter is still having a nice camp. Does Sammy need to start getting hurrying?
Well, I've seen Sammy Coates with the last two practices or two or three practices come out in the field like at 2:30 or, you know, 2:15. And so I think maybe he's trying to get on the field as soon as he can. I mean, Hunter's doing well. I still think, you know, what I said before, that Hunter's going to do well because you're 6'4", 200 plus, that runs 4'4". Of course you're going to succeed in this environment. You'd be stupid and be awful if you couldn't do well in a training camp, you know, setting. But I think when you look at some of the details and nuances, he's still going to have some problems. I saw some assistant I didn't recognize today, you know, as Hunter walked back to the line for something, kind of talking about routes, and you could see him motioning about getting correct depth and stuff like that. So Hunter's issue, I think, has always been the details and the big plays, the ability to catch, red zone fades and run by guys. He's always done that. That's not something new he's picked up in Pittsburgh. He did it at Tennessee. So, I mean, he's been impressive, and Ben's, of course, talked him up. I'm not trying to deny that, but I think you have to look a little more beneath the surface with Justin Hunter.
All right, that kind of play. We'll go ahead and start taking some questions from Twitter here. And really what you just said plays right into what Eric McDay, at Eric McDay on Twitter, he wrote, Justin Hunter, is he for real?
I mean, it depends what you mean by for real. I like I said, you know, he's a guy that this environment's going to, you know, be well tailored to him, and I think he's going to have a good preseason when you're going against some smaller, younger, more inexperienced corners. You know, I just want to see what happens when Coates gets on the field. Then we can kind of judge the two and go from there.
All right, Steven at Bozo Jabroni. I know it's way too early, but you're the man on the scene. Do you think the Steelers might have something in Dobbs?
I think he's having a nice start. I mean, yeah, obviously, as the question, you know, answers itself, it is way too early, but I think he's ahead, Dobbs is, of where Landry Jones was at by his rookie year, which I think I can say that with complete confidence. You know, I think that he's a guy that the moment's not too big for him. He's a good communicator. There aren't a lot of, you know, bad, awful throws, bad, you know, center quarterback exchanges, terrible decisions. I mean, you got to clean some of that stuff up with the progressions and getting the ball out maybe a little quicker. But I think Dobbs has had as good of a camp as you could, I think, hope for starting off.
All right, Jose Ortiz, at Ortiz. It's either at Ortiz underscore or that's a booger on the screen. Any chance for Mike Hilton in the, on the final roster? How's he doing in practice?
I don't want to say there's no chance because he had, by all reports, a strong spring, and he's having, I think, a really good camp so far. Had an interception today. I mean, he's only 5'8", but he leapt a couple feet off the ground and picked Josh Dobbs. So I don't want to say there's no chance, but we got to see these guys on special teams. You know, Dave, you and I know that that's going to be the path for any non-starting cornerback. And, you know, I think Hilton can be successful on special teams because he's a pretty good athlete, and he's as a physical guy with that want to and desire, and he's got the experience. He did it at Ole Miss, so I don't think it's going to be an issue for him. But, you know, who's going to make the plays out there? That's going to tell you who's going to be on the roster.
All right, a question from David at DScheme47. Best undrafted free agent through today?
Oh, man. I'm trying to just think of the whole list. I think they might like Matt Galambos a little bit. I think Galambos has done well to flow the football, finish plays. He, for whatever it's worth, it might not be worth much, but he was on first team kick return unit today with the first line with guys like Tyler Medikevich and Anthony Ciccolo and guys that you would expect to see on there. So something to keep in mind there. I mean, we knew this undrafted class was underwhelming. I still like what Ethan Cooper's done. So I'm trying to think of the whole list. Maybe I'm forgetting somebody, but I think Cooper and Galambos are close to the top.
All right, from Seth Bergman at Bergman_24. As of right now, from watching camp, who do you feel will be the starting receivers based on their contribution so far?
Well, the slot, I think, is still up in the air. I mean, Eli Rogers has a clear leg up right now because he's been healthy and been practicing, and Juju's trying to get back to it. I mean, I think there's no question about your X and your Z receiver. It's going to be Antonio Brown and Martavis Bryant. You know, I think if the season started today, it would definitely be Eli Rogers on the slot, but, you know, Juju's still got plenty of time to catch up and either create a rotation, some situational work. I mean, you know, there's still some possibilities there, so I'm not going to let five practices totally, you know, give myself a final decision on the slot position.
All right, from Austin Hackett at Still the Best 214. How has Watt looked dropping into coverage?
He's looked really good. He's been fluid. He's been able to get to a spot as the overhang defender, dropping into that hook curl zone. The other thing I'm glad that was at Austin that asked that question that I should have mentioned today with Watt in one-on-one, you know, linebacker versus tight ends and running backs. You know, they threw at Watt twice today, and he broke both passes up. There was a curl route to Jesse James, and Watt swatted that away. And I should really correct myself. The second time, there was no throw at all. Watt jammed David Johnson so well at the line of scrimmage. Johnson basically went nowhere, and the quarterback never even threw the football. So I think Watt has been really impressive in coverage. I think that surprised me a little bit, but when you look at his background at Wisconsin, he was asked to drop into coverage a good bit. He played with his hand up, and so when you see some of those traits and uses scheme-wise in college, it's going to lessen that learning curve to the NFL. So when we talk about, you know, what does a learning curve mean for an outside linebacker in Pittsburgh? Well, when you're a defensive end in college, you never played with your hand up. You never played going backwards, so it's all brand new to you in the NFL. I think tomorrow on the site, Dave, we'll have an interview that Ron Lippick did with Lamar Woodley. And one thing Woodley talks about is, I was a big defensive end at Michigan. I didn't know how to play outside linebacker. I think it's a different story with T.J. Watt. He knows how to play with his hand up. He knows how to move in space. He looks fluid, comfortable, and he's finishing plays. So it's been an impressive part of his game.
All right, from Ted Webb at TMWJr84. Overall, how's Dirty Red looking? I know he made a few plays on Monday, but overall, especially after Colbert's comments comparing him to Williams.
Ted, they like him a lot. He's going to be probably your starting inside linebacker, definitely behind Vince Williams and maybe even behind Shazier, depending on, you know, how things shake out the rest of the way. It wouldn't shock me either. But I'm, you know, I've said it before, regardless of what you and I think of Tyler Medikevich, and I've definitely warmed up to him. I like the pick at the time, but I can definitely see why they took him. I believe the Steelers and Kevin Colbert are very high on Medikevich's intensity, the tone setter that he is, his ability to read and react and make up for the lack of elite athletic traits that he has, ability to finish tackles and play the run, and even, again, showed some coverage traits today. A good special teamer, you know, even that Miami game last year for the quarter that he had, he did well. So I believe they're very high on Tyler Medikevich.
He can play some damn special teams, too.
Yes, he can.
Dubois and Debs 2017. Alex, how has Eli Rogers looked?
He's been good. You know, he's a shifty guy. He does well, like I said, I've said it before, to create space at the top of his route, and that's such a critical area. Receivers have to win, especially, of course, the undersized guys like Rodgers. And in Rodgers' case, he's not a 4-4 guy, so it's tough to sell speed. You're not seen as a vertical threat, so you really have to sell that route with your head fakes and, you know, not dropping your hips too early, not tipping plays off with your eyes. So I think Eli Rogers sells that really, really well and creates space at the top. I think there's still some work on knowing when to settle, knowing when to run with Ben. There's still some of those minute chemistry issues that are still so critical in the slot and are the difference between incompletions and interceptions and with, you know, completions and touchdowns. But, you know, he's had a good camp.
From Dave Bryan at Steelers Depot, Alex,
okay. Long
time listener, first time commenter.
That's not true.
Who are you keeping, Arthur Motes or Keon Adams? If you're keeping five.
Oh, I know what you Dave Ryan wants me to say. He might be a first time commenter, but I think I know what the answer is supposed to be here. You know, again, let's see how Keon Adams does in the special teams. You know, we know that that's his path to making this roster. And while you get special team sessions at La Trobe, you know, you can't tackle. It's at half speed. It's just impossible to know. So, I mean, Motes was on first team kick return coverage today. Keon Adams was not. If that's worth anything to you. But it's like Roosevelt Nix. This time, five practices in, Nix's first year in Pittsburgh, no one thought he was making the team. Then he went on special teams and dominated, had that big block punt against Carolina in the fourth game that probably sealed his fate in getting onto the roster. So, you know, I just can't say right now, unfortunately.
You know, really all but about, what, five or six of these roster spots are set now, right?
I mean, yeah, that's usually how it goes. Any team, really.
We can speculate about Fork. We can speculate about, you know, Keon Adams. Johnny Maxey is another one. Fitzgerald Toussaint. These are all kind of bubble guys right now. At this point, the offensive line set. The defensive line is all set but one. As we mentioned, are they going to keep four or five inside linebackers? Who's your fifth outside linebacker? I mean, you can't see more than four safeties being kept at this point, right?
That's set. Tight end is set.
You know, tight end set. I mean, wide receiver, you can make an argument for five or six, you know, obviously there. But, I mean, we know who the combatants are. I mean, is there any fringe guy? You know, I guess Mike Hilton would be the fringiest of the fringe, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it's all – we'll see if Golson can come back. I mean, that, you know, that could open up a spot for a guy like Hilton because, again, they only can keep four safeties. That means they're keeping six corners and someone's got to make it.
All right, top couple plays of the day. Let's start getting out of here.
Again, what I saw Watt do in one-on-ones, that two-hand jam on David Johnson, and then Johnson tried to go to his left. Watt wouldn't let him. Tried to go to his right. Watt wouldn't let him. I thought that was really nice. I'm trying to think of some other plays there. The block that DeCastro had, I think that was on William Gay that's been posted. That was impressive. Trey Williams' run was probably the best run of the day, and Juju Smith-Schuster's catch, that back shoulder along the sideline, was the catch of the day. And then two plays in the secondary, Mike Hilton's interception, which was a nice job to find and high point the football in zone coverage. So I like zone coverage, eyes on the football, let your defensive backs make plays on it. And then Brandon Dixon had that pick six today, which was a nice feather in his cap.
All right, who's wearing the L today?
I should have thought of this.
Besides me and my audio from the earlier podcast, I'm going to give myself an L for that.
No, it wasn't as bad as I think you think it was. I had no problems with it. L today. Oh, man. Kobe Hamilton's just not having a great camp. I mean, he keeps pushing himself farther out of the picture. Ditto with Daniel McCullers. I should prepare better for these things, you know? I guess I'll go with two L's today, Hamilton and Daniel McCullers.
All right, fair enough. Alex, I really appreciate you being the eyes and ears. Really, really great information. I look forward to these podcasts probably as much as the listeners do as well. And I always look forward to reading your reports. And, folks, you can do that on SteelersDepot.com. His Wednesday report is up now. And he will be back out at St. Vincent College on Thursday. And, Alex, we got football tomorrow night. So you're gonna have to get home and help me knock this out so we can watch some preseason football Hall of Fame game between the Cardinals and the Cowboys tomorrow night. And folks, David Todd and I will be back, or Alex and I will be back Thursday night, and David Todd and I will be back on Friday morning as well. As always, thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast.